Spirit, say amen.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Got some technical difficulties. The announcements are not playing. Am I on? Boost me up. So bear with us for just a little bit. Trying some new things this morning, and they seem to be having some kind of problems. But it's all good, amen?
Amen.
It's all good. We are, again, grateful that the Lord has blessed us to be in the house of the Lord. A couple of things happening this month. We are now offering or getting ready for our annual church dinner. It's coming up in December. So normally I'd display the announcement, but that's not showing this morning, so you're just going to have to go with me on this. But you can speak to Sharon Wright, Ms. Rosenia Claiborne, and I think somebody else was on the committee, Ashley Harris.
Is that right?
So anyway, see either of them, because you will have to get this. You have a $10, I think it's $10 deposit, just to make sure you keep your commitment. Say you're coming? Yeah, we want you to come, amen? And if you don't come, thank you for your donation. We appreciate that. Thank you. But also, this is Men's Hair Challenge Month, and we use that opportunity to give a donation to the Pink Witnesses. What they do is they provide support for women who are going through cancer treatment, not just breast cancer, but also cancer treatments of any kind. And they provide a lot of support. So men, we're going to ask you all to step up this month and give a donation. Now, normally I'm keeping my hair. I paid my money today. I'm keeping my hair. You all would not want to see me. You know, I'd be looking like a popsicle up here. But anyway, we are having that this month, and so we're asking men to step up and let's do what we can, because there are a lot of people that are being diagnosed with cancer, and it's good to have a support system, not just the medical community surrounding these individuals, but also a support system that can say to them, we care about you, here's a little something to help you on your journey to recovery. So that's what we're doing this month, and a lot of other good things. Trunk or Treat's coming up. That's on the announcement, but again, I'm gonna have to get that demon out of that file and try to get that straight. One thing we do have this morning is a good word from God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm amazed that I'm gonna tell you a little bit about this, and then I'll take my text. I'm amazed at how God can lead me from one point to the other. Don't you all think that I carry this knowledge around in my head? Please don't think that. But when I pray and ask God, Lord, what would you have me to give to the people? And I sit down and I'm quiet. God comes in, shows me a scripture, and that scripture just blossoms, bears fruit. And so what I do is I gather the fruit, put it down on paper, and pray about it, and the Lord produces what we call a sermon, something to bring to you. Never think that it comes from me. There's no way in the world. I was telling the Lord this morning, no way in the world I could come up with the things that he provides. And I think the message is going to be touching to you. It should be able to help you in your life and in your walk with God. So go with me to Romans chapter 8. Get this ball rolling here. Romans chapter 8. And to put this in context, what Paul is doing, he's summarizing everything that could challenge a believer. He starts off in that chapter saying there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. Nobody can look at me or you that are in Christ and say, well, you're not this and you're not that, because number one, they're not your judge. God is. God stopped judging you when Jesus came in and took authority over your life. That's when there's no more judgment over you. Now, can we improve how we live? Yes. Can we produce fruit for the Lord? Yes. But as far as anybody condemning you, not so, according to God's word. I'm just going to pick up three verses. Verse 37. Nay, or no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a powerful word. What a powerful word. We want to just use for subject today, made for more. Made for more. You may be seated. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to share your word. I pray that you would help me to bring forth what you've given me, that, Lord, you might be glorified and your name might be honored. Again, Lord, without you, we can do nothing, but through you, we can do all things. I ask that you'd bless every listening ear, bless every waiting heart, and, Lord, most of all, you be glorified. Be honored today through our worship and through our praise. We love and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you're going to discover the winning way, how to win in life, one of those things that you're going to have to realize is, why did God put me in this world? Am I to be a victim, or am I going to be victorious in my life? Now that you have Christ abiding in you, we're not just waiting around until one day we all of a sudden depart from this world. That's not the way this thing works. It's not the way that God has designed your life nor mine. You are here for a reason. You are here because you are to bear fruit and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So this involves a couple of things. It involves God speaking to you through his word and allowing you to take in his word and develop. You're developing. You're becoming what God would have you to be. This is not strange, because it goes back to the original plan that God had from the beginning. In the book of Genesis, God didn't just simply say, hey, let's make man and let's make him male and female. That was part of the earthly plan, but God said, let us make them in our own image, in our own likeness. And you have a body that's earthly, but what's inside of you is divine. Why? God made it that way. Never let anyone talk you out of who you are, because God made you. Never let people confuse you and say, well, you're not this and you're not that. Why? God made you. And as we stated in our sermon title, you were made for more. You have a lot of people today that they are now living the fearful life, afraid of this. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? It's not going to move God. He's still on his throne. He's still abiding over us. And so what we got to think about is two things that I consider great truths to our lives, great truths that the Bible brings out. And the first one is God's abundance. God's abundance. What do we mean by God's abundance? Well, not only did God make things, he made everything, and he made them to have a certain fullness about it. But all it takes is one glimpse up into the sky for you to see how that God is a mighty God. He deals with abundance. He didn't just make a few stars. God made billions of stars. And I might add, those stars are larger than this earth that we live on. Your God, my God, made all these things. Can you say amen to that? Mahalia Jackson sings this song, Somebody Bigger Than You and I. But in that song, she also brings out the fact that God didn't just make you and I, he made everything else. You serve a God of abundance. Why is it that when we go to God in prayer, either we feel like that he doesn't have it, or he's stingy if he does have it? Why do we take that attitude that your God doesn't love you, that he's concerned about you, and he wants you to have his best? We'll come away from prayer feeling empty, feeling that, okay, if it's going to be done, I got to do it my way. Wrong interpretation. Without God's abundance, you would have absolutely nothing. Your life would be zero without God providing for you. Think about it. Everything that you have came from God. Well, preacher, I don't know about that. My job, I had a job. How do you think you'll work the job without God giving you strength? Oh, okay, big shot. How do you think you're going to manage stuff without God guiding your mind? As a matter of fact, big shot, how did you make it this far without God smiling on you? God had to give it to you. And unless you come to grips with the fact that God is a God of abundance, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss your opportunity. You're not going to fully understand who you are because you don't know who he is. Two things I want you to go away from here today. Number one, God ain't broke. And number two, God ain't cheap. Only one I know that can bring over 1 million people into the wilderness and tell them, build me a tabernacle. They had zero employment. They didn't have a job in sight. And yet God provided for them. When they needed food, he sent the manna down from heaven. Are y'all with me today? You serve a God of abundance. But be careful with that. Why do I say you be careful with it? I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But the second thing about God, if you want to realize what he's doing, you have a certain capacity. There's this emptiness inside of you that only God can fill. You can try to fill it with anything else, and you're going to come up lost. Not only a loser, you're going to come up lost. Unless you allow God to fill that space in your heart and in your life. No one can make it without God. They can tell you, I got this and I got that, but if you don't have God, you still don't have anything. I can't tell you how miserable my life was, and I tried to fill it. You know how I do. I was one of those people that, you know, I believed in, I couldn't afford champagne, so I bought this stuff called champagne. A little bit of beer and a little bit of champagne. And you ask my wife, I used to take this goblet around, have this little goblet I'd pour my, I didn't drink out of the can, I drank it out of a goblet. And I didn't realize they had a song out at that time that fit me, give a toast to the fool. Trying to fill the capacity of your life without God, you're going to come up empty. No one can do what God does inside of you. Paul looked at the spectrum of everything that covered anything that was up, anything that was down to the west or the east, and Paul looked at it and said, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Because of God's abundant love, his mighty love that he gives us. Here's the thing. God can have the abundance, but if you don't have the capacity to receive him, if you won't make room in your life, all of it means nothing. So here's Paul grasping, looking at all God has given him. And he said, when I survey the wonders of God, when I look at all that he's done for me, my God, I am more than a conqueror. I can win. I will not lose this battle in life. Even when I'm persecuted, I'm going to lift my head up. When I'm going through a trial, I'm not going to throw up my hands. And if I do throw up my hands, it's going to be in praise to God. You may not realize it, but God has made you to be more than a conqueror. You may not even feel like it, but who said you had to follow your feelings? He made you to be more than a conqueror. Why? Because he loved you. He loved you just that much. Now, there are a couple of caveats, a couple of things here that we need to be aware of. Don't come away with the false interpretation that God's abundance leads me to personal gain. Never think that because I got God, I'm going to have my pockets full all the time. That's not what Paul is saying. As a matter of fact, this same Paul says, I've learned how to be in abundance, that I've learned how to deal with not having. In other words, I've been sometimes up and sometimes down. Didn't always have things to work out in my life, but I knew who was working in my life, and that was God Almighty. If you look at God's abundance as an opportunity for you to get rich, you're missing the whole plan. You're missing it. And that's where a lot of people are going today. They're saying, well, the sign of God's blessing is prosperity. Depends on what kind of prosperity you're talking about. John asked the question, what good would it do if you have all these things? And I want your soul, I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. But if your soul is not prospering, then the prosperity around you is not doing you much good because it's not doing anything in you. Do you hear me where I'm coming from? So we got to look at it as an opportunity. If anything, you're going to gain God. Why do we come to church on Sunday? I want more of God. I'm hungering. I'm thirsting because I want to learn more about this God who has so much and has a great and wonderful plan for my life. Nothing's going to take him by accident, and nothing should take you by surprise, because anytime you're surprised, you can always go to God and say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. And God said, let me show you what my plan is. I got this trial to come in your life because I want you to get from here to there. Let's go a little bit further with this. Another false thing that people will do, they think that, well, I got God in my life and God's abundance. That means I'm never going to have to face any evil whatsoever. Yeah, let's talk about that. We face trials because trials make us stronger. How many of you would really have a lot of respect for a soldier that he came in, had uniform on, and it's all neat and polished, and he's got his shoes shining, he's got his hat on, and he gives a salute, and he's able to say, hey, I'm in the military. But he has nothing on his sleeve and nothing on his chest. No ribbons to show that he accomplished anything. No stripes or other markings to show that he's made any rank. Matter of fact, he's got the uniform, but he's never done anything. You probably wouldn't have much confidence in that type of soldier. But if he came in, he could show you his rank. Some of them have got it on the collar, the officers, you know, they got the rank on the collar. They have these little stars and these little clusters, and some of them have wings, and they show you that they're either a colonel or they're a major or they're a general, and they can they've done some things, but they had to go up through the ranks. My point is this: you learn from facing the evil that's in this world. When God saved you, he didn't make evil exempt from coming into your life. As a matter of fact, God's not going to lead you into the evil, but he'll lead you through the evil. How's that? That's pretty good, isn't it? Some people have had to face the evil of sickness. Some people had to face the evil of financial difficulty. Some had to face the evil of children going through the experiences that they go through. Whatever evil it is, what I'm trying to tell you is God's not going to eliminate it, but He'll help you to walk through it. Because you're going to get stronger. You're going to become more dependent on God's power as you walk through it. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to walk through it. Yeah, the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When you got God with you, He's better and greater than the evil that comes up against you. Do I have some witnesses here? So you got to know what He means by being made for more. You got to know what He means by that. Let's look at God's abundance for just a few minutes, and then we're going to take a look at your capacity. All right, this abundant God, this great God that we serve, certainly wants to give us victory in life. Victorious means we go into battle, but we come out of the battle knowing that God has led us. Paul says in that verse, know in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, he's just got finished with the list of things, because he says all of these things, he's just looking back at those things. He says that in every one of them, we come out on top. We're a winner in the eyes of God. Now, how come or why is it that you're not a winner in your own eyes? Well, I don't know. I didn't do this and I didn't. It's not based on your works. It's based on the finished works of Jesus Christ. Not on what you do or what you can do, but on God's power in you. Are y'all still here? I want you to say this verse with me. No, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. Now, I'm going to get back to that in just a minute, but I want to share something with you that you need to really understand of what God is doing, because this abundance means that God is not threatened with the stuff that you get afraid of. Now, why isn't God threatened by the things that you get fearful of? Because He made it. People say, well, the devil's on my case. Guess who made the devil? And I got this problem in my life. Guess who designed all of the elements to where God can change it at any moment that He desires? All you got to do is keep your hands in God's hand. Hold on to Him, and God's going to lead you through. Are y'all learning something today? Or you ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to talk about this thing. This thing gets even better. Because it didn't say that you were a conqueror. Alexander the Great was a conqueror, but he was not more than a conqueror. He took on every foe and every nation in the known world in his time, and he stood up victorious. He was a conqueror, but we are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Everybody say more. Now, let me tell you what more means. Let me take y'all back to the farm for just a little bit. We knew we had to work on the farm. So you didn't just get one plate of food, Reverend Givens, because you had to go back to work. Whenever you would say to Mama, Mama, I didn't have enough on my plate, she would say, there's more in the pot. Now, I know that some of y'all cannot get any theological relevance out of what I just said, but if you ever been in the country, you know what I mean by I need more. I say that to tell you that when it comes to God, there's more blessings in His kingdom, more goodness in the Lord, more power, and whatever you need, God's got it. Here's the thing we got to look at. When you consider God's abundance, there are some things that need to happen on the inside of you. When I was young, when I was, just a little kid, about 9 years old, bunch of us, Miss Campbell, we got out and we decided we were going to have some fun. And back then, you couldn't watch TV all day. You couldn't play video games. We didn't even know what a video was, much less a game. So what we would do, we'd play games like looking at the sun. or we'd see you stand on one leg for the longest time. That's our entertainment. Y'all laughing. I'm serious. You know, kids get stuff for Christmas. We used to make guns out of sticks. Amen. Take doll baby's head from a sister and then play baseball with it. We had to make our entertainment. One day, a bunch of us, my cousins and my siblings, just kind of standing around. We would, had some games we were playing, but then we decided we were going to see who could look at the sun the longest. So everybody else looked at the sun. I looked at the sun. I'm looking up at the sun. And just before I had to look away, I saw a vision. Something big in something small. I couldn't even explain it at the time. 9 years old. My cousin, what you see? What you see? I said, nothing. That vision followed me all of my life until the moment I got saved. When I got saved, I instantly went back to the vision and I understood this was God Almighty coming to live in my life. And I shared it with the group that I got saved with, but here's the point. I didn't understand what it meant. Even after I got saved, and even now I'm trying to describe to you what I saw, but I still don't understand what it means, and you and I still don't understand for great big God to live inside of you and yet not destroy you. I'm not talking about seeing an angel. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, God Almighty, coming to live and reside in your heart. He said, if a man love me, I and my Father will come and we'll make our abode with him. We'll live with him. Right now, if you've got Christ in your life, you've got the greatest power that can ever exist. Nothing greater than that. This is why Paul says, I don't live under threats. I don't live by threats. I live because I know who's on the inside of me. Now, here's the point. Accepting Christ didn't destroy me. You and I, we would say to ourselves, something big inside of something small, that doesn't fit. And yet God is in you, and it fits. Why? Because you're trusting him by this thing called faith. Faith creates the capacity for you to believe and trust God, even when you can't see your way out. Now let's move to this thing what we call capacity. We know that God is a great God. Y'all know that. But let's look at this thing. Can you handle it? When God begins to deal with you, can you handle it? What happens when God comes into your life? Now, at the moment I saw that something big inside of something small, it wasn't on the inside of me then. I hadn't trusted Christ then, but at the age of 21, when I bowed my knee and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. God saved me. He came on the inside of me. What did God do for me? First thing he gave me was authority. But as many as received him, to them he gave authority. The King James says he gave them the right to be called the children of God. Here I was all of my life named William James Coleman, but something changed. I became a child of God based on God's authority. I didn't make it up. God made it up. And when you come to that place in your life that you're willing to say to God, Lord, I give you charge of my life, you now have authority. Now, we call authority as giving somebody a license. You don't just get out here on the road and act crazy. They'll take away your license. And then when they catch you and you don't have your license, guess what? They're going to take you off to jail for driving without a license. Amen. And I laugh about it. It happened to some people. So you got to respect the authority. You got to know where it came from. And if it came from God, then he's going to hold you accountable for it. You don't just get the authority to do what you want. Well, I got authority. I think that's what's wrong with some churches sometimes. People think they got authority. Doesn't happen here at Crossroads. You got to be under authority. That's another sermon for another time. Amen. But you were made for more. Here's what's happening to a lot of Christians. They're going out into the world and they're not taking their license to say, I'm a child of God. They're allowing themselves to be called victims. They're allowing themselves to be called losers. They're allowing themselves all of these things to happen to them, but you better know who you are. One thing my mother would say to us before we left a home every morning, she said, know who you are, know whose child you are. God wants his children to know who you are. Yeah, you're going to face some ups and downs, but know who you are. Know that God brought you this far. Know that God keeps you. Know that he walks with you. Know that he talks with you. Know that you can depend on him. You have authority. God gave it to you. The second thing that you're made for more, you're made for more because you've been given the Holy Spirit to bear fruit. Now watch this. The world is bearing fruit every day. It's bearing fruit every day. And people are producing the fruit of unrighteousness. You see it everywhere. You see the greed, you see the pride, you see all of these other things. But my question is, if you've been made for more, where's your fruit? Galatians tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, and the first one it starts off with is love. We said what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Where the love? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Let me just stop at the word long-suffering, because that's an old King James word. And when you use the statement, people just get on my nerve. You know what you just did? Your long suffering just fell off the vine. Are y'all listening? You didn't think I was coming down your street, did you? I can't stand so-and-so. I just got a short fuse. Well, where's your long suffering? You say, I can't put up with anything. Where's your long suffering? I'm just picking one of them. If you are of God, you're going to be made for more that you might bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Notice it's not your fruit, it's the Spirit's fruit. Again, something big inside of something small. And it's causing you to be changed. It's causing your attitude to change. It's causing your life to change. Because the God that you serve is now dominating your life in such a way that you're bearing fruit. We used to use the phrase a lot in the old church, let the Lord have his way. By that we simply mean, let God work through you and do the work that you're trying to do. Can I get a witness? And then lastly, as I close, when you are made for more, you're going to possess and share God's love. Going back to that verse, Paul looks at the stuff that would threaten us. He said, now let me look at everything that we're facing here. How many people in here over 70? That's my age. I mean, raise and be proud. Look at the gray. Look at the people. Look at them. Power to the gray folks. Amen. One of the things that's probably facing us is death. But we're not threatened by it. Why? Because we believe there's something on the other side. Are y'all here? It says neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. You worried about the government? I ain't worried about it. Because there's a government above this government. Are y'all listening to me? They can shut this government down. But guess what? You can't shut down the kingdom. Hallelujah, somebody. And tomorrow morning, God's going to feed me the same way he's been feeding me all along. By the way, when the manna stopped, that didn't mean the manna was over. If we need God to send some manna, he'll send the manna. Let folk act crazy if they want to. I trust in God. Amen. Come on, y'all ain't gonna say amen with me. Yeah, so the powers that are, they're no match for our living God. Nor things present, nor things to come. Can I preach? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation. People are worried about monsters coming in from outer space. I ain't worried about the monsters because somebody made the monster. Can I get a witness? Well, I saw a UFO. I saw Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can I get a witness? All I know is the same God that made a way is going to keep on making a way. You ought to know that you were made for more. Touch yourself and say, I was made for more. Don't give up on life. Don't get all hung up on things. Know that the same God that brought you this far is going to take you every step of the way. Oh, can I close this sermon, Jesse? In one of these old days, I'm going to walk across the stage in glory, in full uniform. I'm going to have on the robe of righteousness that Jesus gave me. I'm going to have me a few clusters on my chest to let him know he brought me through this and he brought me through that. He never left me alone. God has always been by my side. And then when I stand before him, I'm not just going to salute him. I'm going to get on my knees and tell him, thank you for making a way. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for walking with me. Anybody walking with God, look at somebody telling me, I was made for more. I was made for more. Yeah. I just can't give up now. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't. Come on, you know it. Let's say it again. I just can't give up now. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me.
Nobody told me
that the road. Stay right there.
He brought me this far.
Say it again.
I don't believe.
Tell yourself that.
He brought me this far.
I don't believe.
I don't believe. He brought me this.
I don't believe. I don't believe. He brought me this far to lead me. You are made for more. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, you got something great living on the inside of us. We were made for more. And God, I pray you'd keep us now. And for that person that maybe doesn't know you, have never allowed you to enter into their lives, Lord, just come in and bless them. It might be online or wherever they are, God. They may be listening later. But Lord, let the same power of the Spirit touch their heart and bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Thank you for doing that great work on the inside of us. Bless us only you can do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give the invitation. If there be one, if you're without Christ, if you're not saved, we want you to meet the Lord of glory. Meet my King. Meet my General. Meet my Lord of lords and King of kings, because he truly is good. Is there one? The invitation is given. Is there one? Amen.